to come and die. And Jesus backed that up very clearly when he said, if any man would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it. But whoever would lose his life for my sake and the gospel would find it. Jesus is saying there, embrace the cross. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross. Follow me, he says there. Because what he's trying to get across to us in very simple terms is this. You can't live until you die. One more time. You can't live until you die. So how do we bring that down to very practical terms tonight? Because last night what we did was this. Last night we got our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that was the proper place for us to leave last night. But that's not the end. That's not the end of the message. Basically, once you get yourself dealt with on some of these hurdles and you get some of those, you realize how you're going to handle those and you're going to come and confess those things and get them right with God and you're going to start doing that on a daily basis. And you get your eyes fixed on Jesus. The next step for us is this, is that we learn how to embrace Jesus, how to embrace the cross. Not just to keep our eyes fixed on Him, because that's important, but then as we keep our eyes fixed on Him, we are embracing Him. We are embracing all that He represents, including the cross and including the death that He's called us to, because you can't live until you die. Say it with me. You can't live until you die. All together now. You can't live until you die. And there's one woman in the New Testament who illustrates that so beautifully and so clearly. So I want you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7, we see a picture of this woman. Unbelievable woman. And while you're turning over there, and while we're looking at this passage of Scripture, I just want to add one other thing here to what I've said already by way of introduction that I think will help you to grab hold of what we're talking about here tonight and to bring it down so that you understand what this woman is all about when we talk about this woman here in just a few moments is that your generation is being called to be a generation that is called to say, I can't live until I die. And if anything is clear in this, in your generation, in this day, in this time, it is the very simple and clear fact that Columbine High School has changed everything. And then when that shooting took place, there's not a high school or a junior high student in this room or in this country who can ever go to school again without being afraid to go to school. But in addition to that, we can look at that tragedy and see the triumph of God in it, because there were several students there who had been at a prayer meeting that morning that they had attended all year long, where 90 students were coming together every day to pray for their school before school. 90 of them every day. And one of those students was a young lady named Cassie Burnell, who'd been into witchcraft, had been in the dark side of life, and her life was really headed in the wrong direction. And she got herself, her mom and dad helped her to get into a church youth group, and she went on a retreat, and she met Jesus Christ, and she embraced Him. And as she embraced Him, God turned her life from darkness to light, and He began to use her at her school, and she became fully involved in all that God was doing in her life and in her school. And just about 3 or 4 days before she stood up there and Eric Harris put a gun in her face and said to her, do you believe in God? And she said, I do, and you need to believe in God too. And then he pulled the trigger about 3 or 4 days before that happened and before this girl became, think about this, unbelievable. 3 or 4 days before this girl became the first martyr that I know of in America. Now, there are people who have died in America who are Christians. But how many Christians do you know who have died in America because of their faith? They were shot because of their faith. You can't name any. And the interesting thing is that Cassie Burnell was the first modern Christian martyr, and she was a teenager. She was a high school student just like you. And when given the opportunity to stand for her faith with a gun pointed right between her eyes, She said, with that gun between her eyes, "Yes, I believe in God, and you need to believe in Him too." And a couple of days before that had happened, she wrote these words, paraphrased from the scripture. She said this. She said, "Now I have given up on everything else." Listen to this. "Now I have given up on everything else. I have found it to be the only way." And she grasped the principle that we're talking about tonight, that you can't live until you die. Say it with me. You can't live until you die. And then there was her friend Rachel Scott, who was the first one shot that day. Her dad says that she was not just killed, she was assassinated. She was picked out, she was targeted by these guys because she was a believer in Christ. And they came to school and they found her. They were going to shoot her. And they came to her, they didn't shoot her in the head, they shot her in the leg on purpose. And they said something like this to her. After she was shot in the leg and was asked by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, she was asked if she loved God. And she said she loved God. And they said to her, "Well, then you go and be with Him." And they killed her, shot her the second time. Think of all the Christian martyrs you know in America. Here's one, Cassie Brunell. Here's another one, Rachel Scott. And then there's the case of Val Schneer, who is a friend of Cassie Brunell's, who watched her get shot in that library. The shot rang out and she saw her friend get killed right in front of her eyes. And then Eric Harris asked, "Is there anybody else in here who believes in God?" And nobody said anything for about 2 minutes. And then this girl, knowing probably what was going to happen to her, most likely what was going to happen to her, she stood up and she said, timidly, "I believe in God." And they shot her too. But they didn't kill her. And while the killers were reloading their guns, she found cover and she's alive today. Three young women who understood what we're talking about here tonight. You can't live until you die. Say it with me. You can't live until you die. The only way to get from this life to the next life is through the doorway of death. The only way to get to the abundant life in this life, from the life that we experience without Christ and the life that we experience as believers even, is to come and say, "You know, I can't live until I die. I've got to come to that place where I've denied myself and I'm taking up my cross and I'm following Jesus with everything I'm worth." And so tonight, here's what I'm going to ask us to do at the end of our time. I'm going to ask us to embrace Jesus and embrace the cross and say, "I can't live until I die, and I'm willing to die for Jesus Christ if that's what it takes for my life. I'm willing to die for Jesus Christ if that's what it takes for me. I'm willing to do that." That is a heavy, heavy duty message here tonight. But I'm going to ask you, when we get to the end in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come to that place where you say clearly, if somebody puts a gun to my face, my hope and my desire is that I would stand up in front of those people and say, "I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm willing to die." And even more importantly, is that as we learn how to embrace the cross here in the next few moments, I want us to know and understand that probably in all your life, nobody's going to put a gun to your head and shoot you. But every day, we make the choice to die so we can live. And every day there are certain things about us that characterize the fact that we have died to ourselves and now we're alive to Christ. And I want to show you what those are from the life of this lady, who was a lady who was not a religious lady and who was not a woman of good reputation. In fact, she was a prostitute. And she was in a religious setting as a prostitute. And she came and she embraced Jesus. And so if you're here tonight, I don't care if you're from outside the church, I don't care who you are or what your background is, I want you to know that you can embrace Jesus. And I also want you to know, as we look at this person of the Simon the Pharisee here, who is the other character, main character here besides Jesus, I want you to know and understand that the hardest people to embrace what we're talking about tonight, to embrace the cross. The people who have the hardest time with that, the people who struggle with it the most, are the religious people, the church people. Because this goes way, way down deep into what Jesus came to do. And sometimes when you're religious, you're relying on your own strength. And God didn't call us to rely on our own strength or to live to ourselves with a religious veneer. He called us to die to ourselves so that we could have an intimate, personal, dynamic, powerful relationship with Him. And that's what He's called us to do. And tonight, that's what I'm calling you to. As we look at this lady, let's consider what it means when we say, you can't live until you die. Luke chapter 7. Let's look at this lady. Let me read verses 36 through 38. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. And so he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life, she was a prostitute, in that town, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, Simon the Pharisee, see who that was, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. Here was a very unusual lady, and there's some things that I want you to see about her tonight. And before we get into her, talking about her, guys, I want you to understand that this is not a girl thing, guys, okay? All guys. I want you to understand, this is not a girl thing, okay? This is as much or more of a guy thing as it is a girl thing, all right? And I want you to see that because it's not, this story is one story about one lady, but when you come to a person like Simon Peter, and you see that Simon Peter said to Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and in that he was saying, you know, I'm dying to myself and I'm living to you, and died upside down on a cross because he believed in who Jesus was and he gave his life for Christ. He understood that as a man. So all guys, I want you to stand up with me right there. Guys, stand up right there, okay? Guys, stand up. Stand up right there where you are, okay? And here's what I want you to do, just like this. I want you to go just like this. I want you to go, whoa. Okay, one, two, three. Whoa. All right, guys, it's a man thing. Sit down, okay? This is not just a girl thing we're doing here, okay? This is as much as a man thing as it is a girl thing. It's just a girl who happens to be the person here. So I just want to make that clear so none of the guys would tune out on this. First thing about this lady that you see is this, is that she pursued Jesus. She pursued Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 37. This woman came to a party that she was not invited to. You ever gone to a party where you weren't invited? You ever tempted to go to a party where you weren't invited and you're crashing the party? You ever done that? I mean, there's sort of an awkward feeling about that. You know, I'm not supposed to be here. Nobody invited me to come. I don't have a letter of invitation. May not even know the people. Or if I know the people, they know I wasn't invited. And yet here I am, and I'm showing up. That's a little awkward feeling. You want to make it even more awkward for this lady? She shows up as a prostitute at an all-male party. You talk about uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. And she shows up at this party, and she is there to see Jesus Christ. And we can imagine in our sanctified imagination that she's standing there. She comes to the door, I suppose, and there's a bouncer there. And he says, I want to see your ID, ma'am. Probably from Alabama or something. Arkansas, somewhere like that. Okay? And so he says, I want to see your ID. And she has no ID because she has no invitation to the party. She's not supposed to be there. And we don't know what she did or how she did it. I mean, maybe she went around back and went in the back door. Maybe she knew one of the other servants and somehow got in. I don't know what she did, but she was totally and absolutely committed to getting inside that house and getting to where Jesus was, and there wasn't anybody going to stop her. No bouncer, no walls, no other people, nothing. She was going to get to Jesus no matter what it took. She was pursuing Him. And tonight I would just simply ask you, are you pursuing Him? See, we don't pursue Jesus accidentally. You know, we don't meet Him accidentally. If you're gonna know Jesus, if you're going to follow Jesus, you do it with an intent. You do it with your mind set on that. You are making choices every year. You're making choices every day. You're making choices every moment about doing that. And you're saying, I am intent on following Jesus. That is my goal, to follow Jesus. I have my desire is set in that direction. I want to follow Jesus. I am going to pursue Him. It doesn't happen accidentally. You're just kind of hanging around somewhere. Jesus sort of shows up and you meet Him. If you're going to have an intimate relationship with Jesus, if you're going to embrace the cross and you're going to embrace Jesus, then you do it because, just like this lady, you're in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ. And I just ask you tonight, are you in hot pursuit of Jesus? I'm not asking if you go to the youth group. I'm not asking if you're good. I'm not asking if you came to this conference. I'm not asking if you dress up on Sunday. I'm asking, are you in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you're an officer in the youth group or if you're here with lots of talent. I'm not asking you that stuff. I'm asking, are you in hot pursuit of Jesus? Because that is the issue. The only way you can embrace Him, the only way that you can die to yourself and live to Christ, is to be in hot pursuit of Jesus. And this woman, she was in hot pursuit of Him. And the only way she could get to Him was to be in hot pursuit of Him. And my challenge to you tonight is very simply this. And I'm challenging you now for what we're going to do later. I'm asking you to consider being in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ. If you're 80%, 90%, 98%, 99.9%, Jesus says, that's not what I want. I want you to give 100%+ to being in hot pursuit of Me. That's the challenge. Second thing that we see about this lady that's just a really neat thing about this story is this lady was not only in hot pursuit of Jesus, but when we see her, she offered Him her most precious possession. In other words, when she showed up inside this house and she actually got to Him, she took the thing that was most precious to her, the thing that she valued more highly than anything else, this jar of perfume. That was really a part of her trade. That was worth probably about a year's worth of her wages. And she took her most valuable possession. And when she came to Jesus, she took that most valuable possession and she broke it open. And when she broke it open, broke it before Him, the result was that she gave her most valuable possession. For His sake. She gave her most valuable possession. So tonight, simple question for you is this question. What do you value? What do you value highly? What do you think of as really important to you? Maybe it's a boyfriend. Or your girlfriend. Maybe it's another relationship. Maybe it's your grades. Well, probably not. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's your stuff. And you're saying, I really value this. And the way you can know how highly you value it is how frustrated you get when you can't find it or it's lost or something happens to it. You know, how frustrated do you get over that? How much time do you spend on it? That's how you can tell if it's valuable. And a lot of you have valuable. You're saying, this is valuable to me. And I'm saying to you, listen, Jesus wants you to take your most valuable possessions and bring them to the cross and say, here they are. Here they are. Now, there's something up here that was supposed to be up here. Where is that? Oh, here it is, right here. See, what Jesus says is this. He says, I want you to bring your most valuable possessions to Me. And He says, I want you to take them and I want you to give them just like that lady brought that jar of perfume. Just like this vase of roses. And I want you to bring it to Me and I want you to smash it just like that. And I want you to break it open. See, because it's only when you break it open and it smashes and it's broken that the beauty of the flower inside can really come out. See what Jesus says when He says, you can't live until you die. He's saying this simply to you. You can't really express the beauty of God inside of you until you are a broken person who's taken your most precious possessions and brought them to God and said, God, here they are. I bring them to the foot of the cross. I bring them to You. And then, and only then, does He bring out the beauty of who you are as a person. And I come to you tonight just to simply say, ask the question. I'm just here to ask you the question. If you can't live until you die and you want to embrace Jesus, then have you taken your most precious possession and give it at the foot of the cross and broken it open and said, Jesus, here it is. I want to give it to you. And so tonight, when we have the opportunity in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you very simply to take your most precious possession and just bring it here to the altar and lay it on the altar before Him and say, Jesus, here's my most precious possession and I give it up so that I can embrace you, because I know I can't hold this in my arms and embrace you at the same time. I can't do that. So I've got to let loose of the possession and what I value highly so that I can value you more highly. And I'm going to embrace you and I'm going to hold on to you because I want you to be my most precious possession. Third thing about this lady that's really a neat thing, this is so cool, is that she cared more about what Jesus thought than about what other people thought. Isn't that a neat? Because the truth is, most of us care a whole lot more about what other people think than what Jesus thinks. In fact, I would guess that today most of your decisions have been made not on the basis of whether you asked Jesus whether that was the right thing to do or not, but whether you thought your friends thought that was the right thing for you to do. Even in the context here, much less the pressure that goes on at school every day when you have a hard time making decisions because you care so much about what your friends think. And so tonight, I want you to see this lady here. Here's this lady. And what she did was this. She cared more what Jesus thought than what other people thought. When you look at verses 38 and 39, you see that. Let's just read those together. Here's what she said. It says, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her hair, with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair and she kissed them and she poured perfume on them. What an embarrassing, humiliating thing to do. Here's a bunch of men and she comes in here and she breaks his perfume and she falls down at Jesus' feet and she starts to cry. How embarrassing. And she just begins to weep and weep. And she, her tears are flowing down. And she begins to just wipe Jesus' feet with her hair. What a humiliating thing to do. But the interesting thing about that was, she didn't care. She didn't care. She was totally oblivious to all these guys around her because she was so into Jesus and so into what he was thinking and what was going on with him, that she didn't really care what these other guys, people around her, thought. And so she just opened herself up to Jesus and shut out of her mind what all those other people were thinking so that she could really embrace Jesus in one of the most intimate scenes in all of the Scripture. Here's the challenge for us tonight. That we get so focused on Jesus and we grab hold of His feet and we hold on to Him to the degree that we really don't care what other people around us think. We don't care. You know, DC Talk talks about being a Jesus freak. Well, if that's what everybody wants to think and that's what everybody wants to call you, then let's do that. Let's become a Jesus freak. If everybody in the school thinks you're weird because you follow Jesus and you're the only one who shows up at your flagpole on See You at the Pole Day, or you're the only one who is standing up for Jesus Christ at your school, that's okay. Because the truth is, it doesn't matter what other people think. What's really important is, what does Jesus think? And tonight I'm asking you to simply say, I want you to get focused on Jesus and so embrace Him that you don't even care what your other friends think. Because every decision you make, every thought you think, every desire that you have, say, Jesus, what do you want? What is it that you have in mind for me? What is it that's on your mind? Not what do all my friends think, and letting them determine all the decisions that you make. When you say you can't live until you die, that's a part of it. It's a daily thing. And then let's look at the fourth thing that we see here. And this is the most awesome one of all in my mind. This is just the neatest thing here. And this is where it really, really gets practical here, okay? This woman did her daily tasks as worship to the Lord. As an act of worship. She did her daily tasks as an act of worship. In verses 38 and 39, what did she do? When we look at this lady, she kissed Jesus' feet, she poured oil on him, and she wiped his feet with her tears in her hair. Those were daily tasks in her day. And here's what I want you to see. This is such a neat picture. When you understand the background of Scripture, this is such a neat picture. Because here's Simon the Pharisee, Mr. Religion. He's probably a Baptist. Who knows? I don't know. You know? Here's this guy who was there. He was a Pharisee. I don't know what he was. Whatever he was. He was there and he was religious. And he said he believed in God. In fact, he was so into Jesus that he invited him to dinner. But the common things that he was supposed to do, the things that were courteous, he didn't do. Look at what he didn't do. When you come into somebody's house, it was common courtesy. It was common courtesy to do three things, three simple things. To greet that person when they walked in the door, to greet them with a kiss. And Simon, Jesus says later in this passage you read on, he says, Simon, I came to your house. You didn't greet me with a kiss. It's one of those things we don't do a lot in this country, but they do in Europe, you know? Both sides of the cheek, you know? That's what they did back in this time. And he said, you were supposed to give me a kiss and greet me. That was a common courtesy thing to do, and you didn't even do it. And not only did you not do that, I walked into your house, and you didn't put any oil in my hair. See, because the common courtesy thing to do was when somebody walked in, you take some oil, and you just rub it in the palm of your hand, and then you sort of massage their hair. I guess it was a relaxing thing. Seemed sort of weird to me, but that was the common practice then. They just sort of did the little hair thing, you know? And so he was supposed to rub this perfume, this oil thing in their hair. And he says, I came into your house. You didn't have any oil for me. And in addition to that, Simon, when I came into your house and sat down at your table, when I came in, there was nobody here to wash my feet, and you didn't wash my feet. Because it was common courtesy to wash when somebody came into another person's house. It was common courtesy to wash their feet. Why was that important? It was important because when you sat down to eat, you didn't sit under a table like we sit under a table. You reclined with your elbow here and your feet up here. Now, if you'd been outside all day and you'd been walking around the dust and stepping a few piles of manure along the way, it was important to wash the feet. And so we look at this picture, and what we see is here Simon didn't do any of those things that were common courtesy to do. And yet this lady was the total opposite of that. And she took these common tasks that were supposed to be done, that were to be done to a person when they walked into somebody else's home, just common courtesy things, common daily tasks. And she did each one of them as an act of worship to Jesus Christ. She worshiped Him with the daily things. And Jesus commends her for that. Simon, standing up with all of his religious pride. No kiss. No oil. No water. This woman kneeled down, embracing Jesus' feet in humility. She kneels down, and as an act of worship, she kisses Him. She anoints Him with oil. And she washes His feet. And you know what? This is where I think probably most teenagers in America who are Christians, like you, miss it. We do the Sunday thing. We do the Simon thing. The Pharisee thing. We're good. We go to church. People know we go to church. We probably even believe in Jesus like he believed in Jesus. But Jesus says, what I want from you is not that. I want you to be like this lady here. And I want you to take your daily tasks and I want you to make them an act of worship. I want you to bow down to me and embrace me and make your daily tasks an act of worship. I want making your bed in the morning an act of worship. I want fixing your cereal and then cleaning up the dishes afterwards to be an act of worship. I want you cleaning up your room to be an act of worship. Whew, we're getting serious here now, aren't we? I want you going to English class and doing your best to be an act of worship. I want going to algebra class, God forbid, to be an act of worship. Can that really happen? Sure it can. I want the way you treat other people to be an act of worship. I want the way the decisions you make when you go out on Friday night to be an act of worship. I want your attitude to be an act of worship. And so this lady, just like that, she's an example to us. She comes and she takes her daily tasks, just those common, everyday things that nobody thinks about, and as believers, we don't think are really important and that really kind of wipe out our witness lots of times with other people. Jesus commended this lady for coming and bringing her daily tasks and just saying, Jesus, I worship you. I'll do those mundane things that nobody else wants to do. I'll do those grubby things that nobody else wants to do. I'll do those because I want to embrace you and I love you. It is a picture of this. It's a picture of unrestrained worship. Just say that with me. Unrestrained worship. Say it again. Unrestrained worship. So now we can stand in here and we can sing these songs. We can even raise our hands. We can get excited. We can sing loud. We can come to the church deal here and we can do all, praise God. And that's wonderful. And I'm for it totally. But I want you to know that worship goes way beyond that. Worship is more than that. Worship is when you wake up every morning and say, Mom, how can I help you? Worship is saying to your dad, Dad, I know you probably need some help. Is there any way that I can assist you? What's going on? Worship is giving yourself at school to be your very best. Worship is serving other people. Worship is like this lady who took her daily task and she just embraced Jesus. Look at this woman. Here was a woman who was in hot pursuit of Jesus. She was in hot pursuit of Jesus. She wanted to get to Him so badly, she could taste it. And she did whatever it took to get there. She was in hot pursuit of Jesus, and she was not only in hot pursuit of Him, but she offered, when she got to Him, she offered her most precious possession to Him. And then when she was there in front of Him and in His presence, she cared more what He thought than what all these other people around her thought. And then in the daily tasks that nobody else wanted to do, she was willing to take those things and to do those things because she understood what it meant to embrace Jesus in humility. Because she understood you can't live until you die. You can't live until you die. And so what about us? What about us? Well, let's go back to our first two illustrations. Two challenges here tonight. The first one is this. The first challenge is to say, if what happened to Cassie Burnell, Rachel Scott, and Val Schneer, if that happened at my school, would I be willing to be a person who would stand up and say, I believe in Jesus? With the gun pointed at my head to say, you know, I've already died to myself, and so if you shoot me, it's just gain for me. It's just better for me. I already know where I'm going. I already know what's going on with me. I believe in Jesus, so go ahead and shoot me. Because I love Jesus Christ that much. I've given everything I have to Him, and there's nothing you can do to hurt me because I belong to Him. And so part of the challenge tonight is very simply for you to say, if that happens, I want to take the challenge to believe in Jesus like that. And the way you begin to do that is starting tonight. You say, I'm going to come and I'm going to embrace Jesus. I'm going to embrace the cross. And I'm going to say, I know I can't live until I die. And so tonight I'm willing to die to myself so I can live to Christ. Or, interestingly enough, this lady in this story was very, very much like my wife, Carol. Very much like my wife, Carol. In fact, my wife, Carol, just so you'll see the application here, okay? I want you to catch the application, what this means for you. My wife, Carol, was the kind of person who was in hot pursuit of Jesus from the time she was 5 years old. There was never a time in her life after 5 years old, when she was old enough to make any kind of decision, that she wasn't in hot pursuit of him. And those last few weeks of her life, I'd come in and I'd see her every day, and the Bible would be open in her lap when I walked in that door, and she was reading the Bible, pursuing Jesus Christ. Every day of every minute of every day that I knew her, she was in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but she was also a woman who, in such an amazing way, offered her most precious possessions to Jesus Christ. When she died, the night she died, she had on aqua Victoria's Secret gown. This is the kind of person she was. That gown was so old that it was full. She'd taken her most precious possession. She didn't have any possessions. She didn't own anything. She gave everything she had to Jesus Christ and didn't care what she owned or possessed. And she cared a whole lot more about what Jesus thought than what other people thought. And that reflected itself to others. On the day after she died, we got a telephone call. It was a lady at the A&P, an African-American lady at the A&P, where she shopped, did her grocery shopping. And this lady was calling to find out if this was the same Carol St. Clair that came to her grocery store. And when she found out it was, she just began to weep. And she told one of my kids who was talking to her on the phone, she said, when Carol came in here, everybody loved to see her come, because she cared about us. And she reflected Jesus to us. That's what she said. She reflected Jesus to us. Because we knew when she walked in here, she wasn't just concerned about getting her groceries and getting out. She was concerned about us. And the reason she was concerned about others was simply because she was more concerned about who Jesus was than her, and it was Him reflecting Himself through her. And then my wife did her daily tasks as an act of worship. Here was a woman who was brilliant, beautiful, sharp, well-educated. And for 28 years, she submitted herself to her family and to her husband, doing dishes and laundry and keeping the house and doing all those things that were way far beyond her abilities. And every day she did them as an act of worship. And the only reason, I can tell you this, the only reason I'm standing here tonight with the ability to be able to travel and speak and talk to you is because for 28 years she did all the things that needed to be done back home so I could come and do this kind of thing for you. She did all those daily tasks as an act of worship to Jesus. And so tonight, probably 99.9% of us in here will never have a gun put to our face and somebody say, "Do you belong to Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus?" That won't happen to you. But every day you wake up, you've got to determine if you're going to do those daily tasks, if you're going to embrace Jesus Christ just in the day-to-day things. And tonight my challenge to you is to say to you this: you can't live until you die. And so tonight I'm asking you to come and embrace Jesus and embrace the cross and say, "Tonight I'm willing to die for Him. I'm willing to die now. Not physical death. I'm willing to die spiritually. I'm willing to be crucified with Christ," like Paul said to do. He says, "I'm crucified with Christ." And that's what I'm asking you to do tonight. Because in being crucified with Christ, He says, "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." And then Christ can express Himself through you. And so tonight, just in all those things, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be in hot pursuit of Jesus. I'm asking you to be in hot pursuit of Him. I'm asking you to offer your most precious possession, whatever it is, to Him. I'm asking you as God's representative here tonight, to simply say to you, would you come? And as you come, would you say, I care more about what Jesus thinks than about what other people think. And then God, I want my daily task, just the daily stuff I do, to reflect you in every way. And I'm willing to die to myself so I can do all those daily things in ways that would please and honor you. From the littlest detail, the most mundane thing, the stupidest thing my parents asked me to do, I'm willing to do all those things as an act of worship to you. Jesus, because I've embraced you and I've embraced your cross. That's the call tonight. Very simple. It's a heavy-duty message, but I'm asking hundreds of you to simply get up out of your seat and say, Jesus, I want to embrace you like Cassie Brunell embraced you. I want to embrace you like Rachel Scott embraced you. I want to embrace you like Val Schneer embraced you. I want to embrace you like my friend Josh Weidman embraced you, who's a young man who's living for Jesus Christ in some unbelievable ways, who started that prayer group at Columbine High School. I want to embrace you like Ben Strong, who stood in front of all those kids up in Paducah, Kentucky, who stood in front of that gunman and talked him down as a believer in Christ. That's what I'm calling you to do tonight. I'm calling you to be like my wife and say, I'm willing to die to myself so that I can let Jesus live in me and I can express the beauty of Jesus just in the daily things that I do. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to have over here on the screen, we're going to have a cross. We're going to have a cross. When that cross comes up over there, just a moment, I'm going to ask you to get up and come there or come here across the front and simply to say tonight, someone puts a gun to my head or even in my daily life, tonight I realize I can't live until I die. And so I'm coming to say to Jesus tonight, with everything that's in me, I come in hot pursuit of you and I embrace you for all I am worth. I embrace you tonight. Let's pray together. Right now, in the quietness and the holiness of this moment, I'm simply asking you to respond to what we've said tonight and to be like this woman and say, I know I can't live until I die. And tonight, Jesus, I want to come to you and I want to embrace you just like that woman did. And I want to prepare myself to die. I want to say to you tonight, Jesus, I want to be in hot pursuit of you. I want to offer you my most precious possession. I want to care more what other people think and I want to do my talent. I want to do my daily tasks for you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now. And I'm going to ask us to pray that prayer. And if you're willing to pray a prayer that says what I said tonight about that woman, and you're willing to say tonight, I can't live until I die, then I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. Stand up right now, right where you are. Just stand. I'm willing to die to myself. If somebody puts a gun to my face, then I'm gonna do that. And if that's your desire, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. I ask you to stand right where you are. And now, looking at that cross over there, everybody with your eyes open, looking straight at that cross over there, looking at that cross, I want you to just look at it. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then I'm going to ask you quietly but quickly to come and embrace the cross all across here. I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to move out of your seat as an action. Just like that woman who came and broke through that house and knelt down at the feet of Jesus. I want to ask you as an action to come and say, I embrace you, Jesus. Let's just pray this prayer out loud together. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I can't live until I die. And so tonight, I come to you to die I give myself to you. I want to be in hot pursuit of you. I want to offer my most precious possession to you. I want to care what you think more than what other people think. And Lord Jesus, I want to do my daily tasks. Right now, just reach your hands out there and just say, Jesus. Just say it out loud. Say, Jesus, I embrace you. I love you. I want to know you. I want to love you more and more. I know that I can't do that until I die to myself. So tonight, I choose to die. I let go of everything in my life that's not you. Jesus, I don't want you to be first in my life or just important in my life. I want you to be my life. And so I choose to die in order to let you live in me. I embrace you. And right there in that kneeling position, just at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross. And what an awesome picture is. God's looking down here on us. What an awesome picture this is. He is really pleased with what's going on here right now. Kneeling down right there. We're just going to quietly sing a song that just expresses our love for Him. Just says, Jesus, I love you. I love you. And quietly we'll just sing that song, Don, whatever song's appropriate there. Let's just sing it together. Woman in Luke 7, who just knelt there at His feet, kissed His feet.
rubbed his feet with her hair, cried as she knelt down there in front of him. Let's just open our hearts up to Jesus. Just open your heart up to him. As we sing, you can say anything to him you want to say. Just tell him how much you love him. Tell him that you want to love him more. Tell him you're really sorry when you don't love him like you should, but you want to. Tell him about your struggles right now that you're going through. Just tell him that you want him to have those. Tell him about some of the things that are your possessions that are hard for you to give up. And just ask him to help you. Give those things over to him. Tell him honestly, doing the stuff your mom asks you to do is really hard. Doing things around the house when you're feeling tired and want to just rest and watch TV is really a hard thing to do. Tell him honestly that you don't like doing your schoolwork, but you want to. Just tell him what's on your heart now. Just say those things out loud. Just say to him. Just talk to him. We're just going to take just a few moments to talk to him. Then we're going to sing to him some more. Just take a few moments to talk to him. Tell him what's on your mind. Just whisper it out to him. All over this room. Just whisper to him the things that are on your mind. The things you want to say to him. The things maybe you've wanted to say to him for a long time, but you haven't been close enough to him. You haven't been kneeling down at his feet, embracing him with your heart and your emotions opened up to be able to do it tonight. Just tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what's on your heart. Just for a few moments, just to be honest with him. All over this room, just say those things out loud. Whisper it out to him. You don't have to yell it. You don't have to do anything but like that. Just simply whisper it to him, the things that are on your heart right now.
questions I have is, what's it going to take for you to live for Christ always? You know, before Columbine, there was Jonesboro, Arkansas, the state where I'm from. Before that, there was Paducah, Kentucky. Before that, there was Pearl, Mississippi. Yesterday, I asked a pastor from Paducah how things were going at Heath High School, how things were going in Paducah after the shooting there 18 months ago. Three students died in an early morning prayer meeting. You know, right after the shooting happened, there were a lot of reports of people coming to Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. God is able to turn tragedy into a moment where He can shine and He can be glorified. But I asked our missions pastor in Paducah how things were going, and he said that the 300 are not there anymore. It's back to the 30, the 40 that were there 18 months ago. What's it going to take? And what Barry's talked to us about tonight is not hyper-emotion. It's not anything other than sobering truth. What it takes is pursuing Jesus. What it takes is offering Him what we have. And what we have is nothing so that we can know Christ. What it takes is taking our daily tasks and giving them to Jesus. Because it really is easy to do it here, folks. But as you leave tonight and you go outside of this place, they're going to know where your treasure really is by what you worship. And if you give even your daily tasks to the Lord, it's going to be obvious. So I want to ask you, what's it going to take? I have no doubt whatsoever that many of you have done business tonight with God, and you'll never, ever be the same. I want to encourage you to write it down someplace. I want to encourage you to tell your best friend. I want to encourage you to tell your youth pastor. I want you to proclaim it to somebody. I want you to proclaim it to God. Put it in writing. Whatever it takes for you to do to remember what you told Jesus tonight. To remember what it is that you and God did this evening. We love you. These moments are what this conference is all about. I can't tell you how thankful I am that the focus of the conference is shifting to worship, and the focus of the conference is shifting to mobilizing the next generation for Christ. And folks, we are going to move forward with the banner of the cross unlike any generation before, if we will do what Barry has told us to do tonight, if we will love Jesus far more than we love ourselves. Let's stand, and I want you to take the hand of the person next to you, and I want us to sing "I Love You, Lord" one more time as an act of worship before our Creator. Let's sing. I have no doubt that God has been here with us this evening and that you have made the decisions that you need to make. I know things were tough from a technical standpoint. I promise you it wasn't what was happening back there. Something else was going on. And I just believe that someone was unhappy with what was going on tonight, guys. And when that happens in your churches, when that happens in these meetings, you just need to redouble your efforts in prayer. I want you to lift up Barry tomorrow. God has something for us tomorrow night that we've been waiting for. It's been great, but we're focused. The most important thing is what God has for us tomorrow. We put into practice what we've learned, and we're building upon a foundation to where we will never be the same again. It's good to be here tonight. We have a few announcements, and we're going to send you out, and we are going to shift gears a little bit, but I don't want us to lose this moment. Folks, if you need to pray, I'll be up here at the front. We'll have other people up at the front. If you need to do some things with the Lord, if you've resisted God to this point, I don't understand it. If you've resisted God to this very point now, He's still calling you. He's still knocking at your heart's door. We'll be here. We'll be talking to you. Let me tell you a few announcements. Announcement number one. This is very important. If you picked up Horizon Turning Point curriculum, you need to check it, because you may have gotten this year's curriculum instead of 2000. You'll be a year behind next year. Randall House had them in the same envelopes. You need to recheck your curriculum, please. Number two, if you're youth group or you're interested in going to Six Flags, the NYC office is selling discounted tickets. Stop by, check out the deal that they have. If you're planning on going to Six Flags later this week, it's 9:03. We're not in any hurry. If you still need to deal with God, we want you to stay here, okay? Don't go anywhere. Don't leave this room if there's some undecided things between you and the Lord. But in about 30 minutes, let's say about 9:35, about 9:40, we're going to reconvene in this room. We have what's called the Laffy Olympics, and you can change into your activity dress code. And then when you come in, sit with your state. You have a good time with your own state tonight. We're glad you're here. Remember, these altars are open for you. You're dismissed.